Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Thank you very much, musicians. That was terrific. Nice to see all of you today. Glad you're here. I'm looking for somebody like, oh yeah, there's Carol. I'm going to mention you later. So if I forget, well, you can remind me. So she's leaving. She said, I'm leaving right now. But thanks for the privilege of sharing my story. And I'm going to try to do it not necessarily quickly, but I want it to move along. I don't want to give you a chance to get bored, although there's a lot of exciting things that happened in my life. I was born at a very early age in life, but I'm going to skip over all that and say that I was born into a Christian home. I thank righteous parents, my mother and dad, went to church every Sunday. I enjoyed going to church. And so I just did that really all my life till I graduated from high school. I had an interest in the Christian ministry. I wanted to do what that preacher was doing. I enjoyed, you know, preaching and learning about it, and I wanted to do it. So I went to TCU. I was a Christian service student. From there, I went to Bright Divinity School. So it was actually from the time I entered college to the time I got my Master of Divinity degree, it was 7.5 years straight through school. So I was ready to get out. But you know what? I wasn't prepared. I was ready, but I wasn't prepared. I knew something was missing in my life. Well, about that time, my mother and dad in Bryan, Texas, my hometown, were having home Bible studies, and people were all meeting and sharing their testimony about they had had dramatic encounters with the Holy Spirit and how they loved each other. That was really the exciting part. Here were people from various denominations. It wasn't the church Bible study. It was just a home Bible study of various denominations. And they were all happy to be there. They weren't talking about their differences. They were talking about what they had in common. And that was a dramatic experience with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, that changed their lives. Well, I needed something dramatic in my life because I was really not sure whether I should go into the ministry or not, because I felt so empty. Anybody here ever felt empty and you needed something? Well, God has promised to satisfy the hungry heart. So when you're hungry, God will satisfy. After seminary, I guess my resume was out somewhere because I got a phone call one day from Paducah, Texas, out there in West Texas, just south of Childress. Anybody know where that is, West Texas? Several of you, not many. I didn't know where it was. I had to look it up on the map. I got a call from the chairman of the board, said they would like for me to come out there and interview. And before I knew what I was saying, because I probably would have said, no, I don't think so, I'm looking for something more closer to home, I said, sure, I will. So there I'd committed myself to go out there and talk to their pulpit committee. Well, this was probably in December of 72. So in 1970, now I've lost. I think it was 72 when I went out there. But anyway, I still had that empty feeling. And I didn't feel qualified to go be the minister of the church. Even though I had a Master of Divinity degree, I didn't feel qualified. I'd heard people's testimonies, how God had filled them with the Holy Spirit. And I said, I needed that. And I felt like David, Lord, if you don't go with me, I don't want to go. So it just turned out. Now, Becky and I had met, but we weren't married. And so I was about to go out in February to be the pastor of this church. They called me. I guess I left that out. They interviewed me and they called me. So I was excited about that. I didn't know what it was like in West Texas. I said, hey, what's it like out there? I asked somebody that went to church there. They said, well, it's about the next thing to nothing that you've ever experienced. But once you get used to nothing, you'll really like it. I said, okay. So I heard about a big world convention in Hawaii, and since I was single, I thought, you know what? I want to go to that. Here's my last chance to have an experience with God before I go be the minister of the first Christian church in Paducah, Texas. So I went. Well, the speaker there that week was John Osteen. Maybe you've heard of Joel Osteen. Well, this is his dad. So he was just a fantastic speaker, but also greatly anointed of God. I mean, when he prayed for you to get the Holy Spirit, you got the Holy Spirit. But I still remember his message that day was the divine flow. And what his message was, if you follow love, you'll be safe. Follow love and you won't miss God. At the end of the service, I guess the whole service was maybe hour long, hour and a half. And there were in the hotel ballroom there is where they were having this convention. So there were about 700 people there. And he said, now, we don't have enough room up here at the front for all of you that want the Holy Spirit to come down here to the front. So here's what I'm going to do. Right there where you are, I want everybody to raise your hands and start praising God in another language. I was thinking, now, how do you do that? So he gave the invitation, and so everybody raised their hands, and they started speaking to God in another language. And guess what? I did too. So I was kind of excited and perplexed about that because what am I going to do now? Here's this Holy Ghost Pentecostal preacher now going to a very traditional, quiet church. Many of them elderly and so on. They wouldn't understand. That's the way I was thinking. So there was a man there that was a speaker later at the convention. His name was David Duplessy. He's known around the world as Mr. Pentecost. And when he was a little boy in South Africa, Smith Wigglesworth prophesied over him as a little boy. And he said, you're going to travel over the whole world and you're going to bring Pentecost to all the nations. Well, he was just a little boy. He didn't know what that meant. Turned out that prophecy came true. And like I said, he had the reputation of being Mr. Pentecost. He must have been in his 80s by the time I met him. So I cornered him and I said, could I ask you a question? So I told him the story that I had been called by this church, but I didn't know what to do with my recent experience and how I could share that with the church or be misunderstood or somehow maybe I misled the church. And I had all of these feelings. Well, we sat down on a little couch in the area there. And he said, don't worry about a thing. He said, don't worry about a thing. He said, you just preach Jesus, and you'll be fine. So that took the pressure off of me. Well, I knew the church loved Jesus, so there you go. Just preach Jesus. So I went back to the church and started preaching. Well, Becky and I were engaged, but she didn't get there until 6 months later. We didn't get married until that summer. Kind of neat story there. Because Becky's a big part of that, although she's not here today, and she could remind me of things. But she's a big part of this story. I've always called Becky my job security, because everybody just loves Becky. They tolerate me. They love Becky. And y'all know how Becky is. She gets into your heart. So the first day that we came back to Paducah, and she knew nothing about being a minister's wife because she grew up Catholic. Hello, priests, no wives. So she didn't know how to act, which made it all kind of funny and exciting. But the first day we got there, the parsonage was about 6 blocks from the church. So for some reason, she got on her bicycle that day and rode up looking for the church. Didn't know where the church was. She rode up to the church, and there was a church, and there were some women around outside the door talking, and she rode her bicycle up there, and she said, excuse me, is this the First Christian Church? They said, yes, it is. They said, is Steve Hinton the minister here? So I said, yes, and she goes, okay, great. And she was so embarrassed later that she had to ask, was Steve the minister? But so I want to put this in the context of some of the things that I'm going to tell you. It's not because of me. It's because of God and His grace. Sometimes testimonies are almost like we're bragging on ourselves about what all God did through us, like we're this anointed man of faith and power. Nevertheless, David Duplessy did pray an anointing upon me. And remember, it was Smith Wigglesworth that prayed for him, and it was David Duplessy that prayed for me, not only not him, but John Osteen, of course. So, let me see how I'm doing here. Okay. Needless to say, to my great surprise, things begin to happen all over the place. I started a little home Bible study that was interdenominational, actually. Some folks from the Christian church came, and some folks from some other churches came. And people started receiving the Holy Spirit, and people started getting answered prayer. And I guess the thing that stands out is not only the miracles and the healings and everything was just happening all at once. It was almost like I was a bystander just watching all this happen. And we had a lady, Barbara Garvin, in our home Bible study. Well, she would always say, pray for my husband to be saved. Every time we had our meeting, pray for my husband to be saved. Well, it was about a year later that there was a knock on my parsonage door in the middle of the day. Guess who it was? Philip Garvin, her husband. He's sitting there, he's got his handkerchief, and he's wringing his handkerchief, and he's all nervous and upset. He was a big guy. I thought he might have been mad at me. He was very serious. And he said, I need to give my heart to the Lord. What did I have to do with that? God just did it. Another lady in our Bible study, Pam Price. Her husband was the highway patrolman. He didn't come to church. He didn't see a need for it. He wasn't interested. And she invited him, and he never would come. She said, pray for my husband to be saved. Guess what? A few weeks later, there's a knock on the parsonage door, and it's Harold Price, the highway patrolman. And he said, I don't know why I'm here, but I need to give my heart to the Lord. It just started happening all over the place. And we had a person in town. His name was Kenneth Trent. He was the town psychologist. By the way, this is a small town. Everybody knows everybody. So I already had heard the story of him. He was called the town atheist. He didn't believe in God. But a real nice guy, and he was a musician. Well, it turns out that I had a little TV program that the local cable would let me do, because I asked him. He said, sure, we'll just put you on the air. So I had a little 30-minute program. Well, guess who the cameraman was? The town atheist. So he was there, and even when I was giving my talk, he would sit there and read a book until it came time to flip the switch. He'd give me a countdown, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, and then... So I got to know him that way. Well, it turns out maybe about a year later that his son, who was about 12 years old, got kicked in the head by a horse. And he was unconscious, and the doctors didn't even know if he would recover. He was still unconscious. But he was in the hospital in Lubbock. And so I thought, you know, I need to go pray for that little boy. All the way up to Lubbock, that's a little over 2-hour drive, I prayed in my car by myself, prayed in my car, prayed in the Spirit the whole way, all the way. Got there, walked into the intensive care room. Can I see him? They said, you're the pastor? And I said, yes, I'm the pastor. So, okay, go in there and pray for him. While I was praying for him, his eyes opened and he came to. While I was praying for him, I was praying that scripture, John 14, greater things than these shall you do because I go to the Father. Yeah, so I just stood on that scripture. So anyway, the kid made a full recovery, ended up being the drummer in our band at the church, and guess what? His dad got saved. Yeah, yeah. And he became the music leader at the church. So his whole family came in. So many stories. So I'd always heard the way to have a revival in a town was to find out who the worst sinner is in town was and get him saved. So I asked some of the people in my church, who's the worst sinner in town? They all said the same thing. Dale Ray Harrison is the worst sinner in town. And I said, well, let's start praying for him. Well, I'm kind of condensing it down, but it wasn't too long after that. He had a party RV that he'd like to go to these rodeos, and they partied at the rodeo all weekend long. While he was there, something impressed him to go to the bathroom other than to do his business, and he got down on his knees and gave his heart to the Lord all by himself. What was that? That was answered prayer. Nobody had talked to him. Nobody said, if you'll do this, or you need to come to church, or nothing. It hit him. I've got to get right with God. So there he comes into the church, and he's sharing his testimony. Everybody gets excited. He was actually kind of he's a songwriter and a poet, and I didn't even know it. And so he shared a little poem about himself getting saved. Everybody's just so excited. Just things are just happening all over. There's the worst sinner in town got saved. Well, there was a lady in the church, and she had her two daughters in church. She had two sons, too, that were not coming to church. They were teenagers. But anyway, one night I got a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning. Like I said, things were popping all over the place. It got to where I was just wondering, who's next? Who's going to get saved next? And God just put me in a position where I was able to observe it, not because of me. It was because God just was moving in a fantastic way. I guess because of David Duplessis' prayer, somehow or another, it was just happening. God said, I'm going to have a mighty move in this little town. She called me at 2 o'clock in the morning, and she said, could you come over? Travis needs to talk to you. Well, it turns out Travis was always, he was drunk every weekend. And so he was at 2 o'clock in the morning. I guess they had a conversation, and he agreed for the minister to come over and talk to him. So I thought, oh, no, I feel very uncomfortable doing this. But okay, because I was thinking she wants me to come over to talk to him. So when I got over there, sure enough, he was sincere. And he said, I really want to give my heart to the Lord and do what's right with my family. I want to see my whole family in church serving the Lord. So I wanted you to hear, and I want to confess that before you and have you pray for me. Well, this was Saturday night, or actually Sunday morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. So I kind of, when I left that place, I thought, I wonder what's really going to happen. How is this going to work out? Because a lot of people, you know, act very sincere, and they promise things that they don't follow through with. Well, guess who was the first one at the church door Sunday morning? Travis, with his whole family, not just the two girls, but the other two boys. So four of them, and he's got a real nice suit on. He always looked like a mechanic because he ran the Conoco station. So, but that day, he was there with his whole family. They never missed a Sunday from that time on. And just stalwarts of the church, so the whole family got saved. You know, when the Bible talks about you and your whole household, that's what happened with them. And such an asset. And we had folks from coming from even other churches coming to our church. And I would say, hey, listen, no, just stay in your own church. I didn't know I really had this mask still on here. Does this look kind of funny? Okay. I mean, it's not doing me any good. Okay. But it fogs up my glasses if I've got it all the way on. I'll try not to sneeze. Oh, I was talking about what? Other people coming to church? Yeah, so we had the town atheist who was the psychologist. And now he's leading singing. We had folks from some other churches that I said, no, don't. You can just come to our Bible studies. You don't have to come to our church. No, we feel led to come to your church. So we had folks coming. We had the owner of the dry goods store, Bill Smith, and his wife, Ann, who, after I got to know him, I found out that she was dying. So I said, well, hey, we believe in prayer. So let's go over. We're going to pray for your wife. So we did. And from that time on, she started to improve, and she lived like another 30 years. So all this, I'm condensing it way down. But things like that were just happening. We're so excited. It got to where we were expecting. What's the next miracle that's going to happen? And I've never experienced anything quite on that level since then. And I believe God's with me. God anoints me and so on and all and in ministry. And God backs me up and all this stuff. But I've never seen God moved in that dramatic way before. So, but I always ask the Lord, wherever I go in ministry, I want to see a miracle. Everywhere I go, that'll kind of confirm I've gone to the right place. Okay, I'm going to wrap this up in a few minutes. But I went to First Christian Church in Dickinson, Texas, started having the Bible studies the same way. A lady in our Bible study, pray for my husband. He needs to get saved. And I thought, I've heard this before, and I bet God's going to do it. And she, every time we got together, she'd say, pray for my husband. He's got, her name was Linda Jones. And so about a year later, I for some reason, I thought about asking her, by the way, does he have any hobbies, things he likes to do? And she goes, oh, he loves photography. And so I said, could I call him up and ask him to come up to the church and take some photographs? She goes, oh, yeah, if you want to. He'd probably do that. So I called him up. We were having some big celebration at the church. I said, I need a lot of pictures. So he came up and did that. And then as we were leaving the service, I said, if you could, come back next week and take some more pictures. So, you see, God was up to something. And I was being a little sneaky myself. But he came back the next week. Well, 3 weeks later, I baptized him and he got saved. Yeah, before he was like kind of on the atheist level. He wanted nothing to do with church. He got saved. Well, it was just a few months after that. He said, I want to go into ministry too. Yeah. And so that's what he did. Ended up with his own church, ministering to that church. So I thought, okay, God, you're still moving. You gave me another miracle. When I was there for a few years, when I came back, when Becky and I came back up to Fort Worth, I didn't have a church then. I just felt led to come back up. Becky's grandfather was real sick. She needed to help him. So we moved back. I resigned the church, came up here to Fort Worth. And so I started thinking immediately, gosh, I need to get back into the ministry. So I put my resume out to get back in the ministry, hoping a church in Fort Worth might hire me. So my resume got turned down several times from other churches, and it kind of hurt my feelings. Because I thought, what? They don't want to hire me? Anointed man of God, man of faith and power? And no, they didn't. They didn't want me. But one church gave me a call one day. It was Rockwood Christian Church. And I think it was Hoyt Dowdy that called me. He was maybe the chairman of the board. And he said, we'd like to interview you for our position of senior pastor. And I said, yes, I'll meet with you. I hung up the phone and I said, Becky, I'm going to get that church. How did I know that? I'd been turned down by some others. It was just something I just knew. I said, I'm going to get that church. So now, Carol Dunbar, that said, wave your hand, Carol. Carol was on the pulpit committee. And so she told me later that the pulpit committee had already decided that they were not going to hire the first pastor, the first candidate, that they interviewed. Okay, we're not going to do that. We're going to listen to several, and then we're going to pick the one that we want. Well, guess what? I was the first one. And so, but I was very upfront and honest with the board, with the pulpit committee. And I said, now, I really want to liven things up around the church. I said, I'm used to like playing my guitar and singing some little choruses and having the kids come up to the front of the church and they'll sing with me. I'm just going to liven this place up if y'all want that, if you can take it. They said, yes, that's what we want. That's what we need. So they issued a call to me, and I started in January. The reason that I remember that is it was January the 1st, 1984. So that's when I started my ministry, and I was there for 30 years. And I don't have time to kind of pick it up from there, but a lot of exciting things happened. But the miracle that I was looking for, since I was new to the church, was something dramatic. Sure enough, a girl named Lisa Still started coming to our church, and she said, pray for my dad. He's got terminal cancer. He has maybe 6 weeks to live, the doctors say. And I said, really? Well, we believe in prayer. Could you get him to come up to the church? Our elders will pray for him. Sure enough, he did. He came up to the front of the church, And Paula knows this too. She was there all the way. And so we prayed for him. He immediately started feeling better. And he said, you know what? I'm throwing my medicine away. Well, I said, well, now, wait a minute. You know, if you're healed, it'll show up. And he goes, nope, that's it. I'm not going to any more chemo, nothing. I'm quitting. I live or I die. Well, guess what? He lived. He lived another 25 years. Yeah, he became my property chairman, just a real good friend. And God just miraculously healed him. So I said, okay, thank you, Lord. There's another miracle. Well, that tells me God is still moving. Yeah. And if he did it for me, he'll do it for any of us. Don't ever give up on your prayers. You might have been praying for years. Just get those prayers back in your repertoire and stand on God's word and say, Lord, I'm standing for their salvation. I'm standing for a miracle in their lives. God is in the miracle business. So when I read the book of Acts, I just see God, just the Holy Spirit moving here, there, and the other. And, you know, the book of Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles. And somebody said, you know, probably it should have been called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. So I thought about that for a while, and then I said, no, it was named correctly. These were the Acts of the Apostles with the Holy Spirit in them. God uses people, and if God used me, he can use you, and he will answer your prayers. I have had disappointments in prayers. I've told you the highlights of God answered prayers. Yes, I've had some disappointment in prayers. But that doesn't mean that I should just sit down and say, well, God, since you didn't answer this prayer, I'm not going to ask anymore. No, keep on praying. Keep on believing. God will hear and God will answer. And you stand on God's word. Y'all remember Mark Perkey's testimony about his grandmother, how she stood on the Bible, said, Lord, I'm standing on your word until my son gets healed or my grandson gets healed. So that's what he did for me. It's exciting every day. I'm excited about the ministry. And now I get to be ministering right here at Vision Church, especially with the seniors, the wise and the wonderful that we meet on Wednesdays. So I don't know what the next adventure will be, but it is ongoing. God bless you for your patience in listening to me. I'll be up here afterwards. If anybody wants some prayer for anything, feel free to come up and we'll hold hands and pray and agree together. So, yeah, I probably talked for 30 minutes. That's long enough. It's hard to be interesting even for 30 minutes. I don't know if that was. Thank you for your patience and for your listening. This was real good for me because all night last night, I was remembering things that had happened in the past. Well, should I tell that? Should I? Oh, yeah, I forgot about this. It's really neat. So anyway, thanks. God bless you for being here. And I'm just going to pray a blessing over you and then we'll dismiss. Lord, we thank you for your moving in our lives. Thank you for moving and anointing me, and filling me with your Holy Spirit. That's made all the difference. Yeah, I mean, I've loved you and I've loved Jesus all my life, but the Holy Spirit kind of pushed me over the top there and gave me a ministry. So thank you for that, Lord. And you're still using me. I'm praying a big blessing upon everyone here, Lord. Just move in dramatic ways in their life. May we never get comfortable where we are. But, Lord, we want to keep growing and keep changing and not just saying, well, that's the way I am. I've always been that way. No, God is changing me from glory to glory. He's changing me. In Jesus' name, amen.